Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Mark in for C.A. Brooks on Everyday Astrology. I like to tease you and say I'm really C.A. imitating Mark, but I mean, she's not that good. I'm sorry. And I am so not good at imitating her. She's the best. Hey, so you guys, it is Tuesday, November 12th. It's 1-2 day. There's a lot of excitement in the air. I got to talk to you yesterday. I'm so grateful for that. So thank you for being here. I hope you came over to enjoy today's show with Peggy, because I promised Peggy she was going to be my guest today. I wanted her, since she had the show before CA, it's sort of like being able to grab a hand. I picture it like if you're on a schedule and you reach up to the date above you, which already passed, and you grab Peggy's hand and say, bring her down here to this part of the show. And she agreed. I'm so happy, because like, we don't know, my people, when I'm doing my show, I'm in my zone. I'm talking to you guys. We don't get a lot of time to introduce people. Every once in a while I do, but Peggy's been one of those obscure ones. It's been around. You kind of like expect to see Peggy, but to bring her on a show and talk to her directly, I don't know how many of you all have heard that or done that, but man, this is my first time. So I'm really honored. And Peggy, and thank you so much for agreeing to be here, but please, everybody, welcome our angel reader, oh my angels, Peggy Reeser. Hi, Pegs.
Hey, Mark. Thanks so much for having me. This is kind of, I was very excited when you asked. So, yes. And of course, Yogi's in the background here. So, we're honored to be here.
Yeah, it's really nice having you. And you are a natural on radio, which kind of shocks me. Everything about you kind of shocks me. I wouldn't put you in the category of somebody who would just be on the air and be happy to communicate with people, but I asked for your chart earlier, and we ended up having it, which I was really grateful for, because I like to look at that when we're talking. I'm gonna bring that up a couple times. Before I dive into anything, though, let's get our people over to the show. You guys, all you have to do, if you're new to this, go over to 12radio.com. Click that the word that says chat on the left-hand side, and it will bring you into the Facebook chat room where our producer, Jay, and Jay is like, Jay's just become one of those like fixtures. You're kind of like, if Jay wasn't here, I'd be calling out for Jay. Like, Jay did this. Even if Jay left 20 years later, I'd be like, Jay put this up. So it's kind of like we rely on Jay, and he's been fantastically consistent, and we just really appreciate him. He's put up CA's banner there, and if you go, you'll see her banner. You scroll down a little, and you'll see this thing that says comments. It has a number next to it. If you click that, there's even more to click. Then there's a thing in the drop down that happens. It says most relevant. You click that and say all comments. Why would Facebook design it like that? I know why. Because they're all 12 years old. Okay. but if you go down the list, you see people like, and Peggy, can you see the room with me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. So we see Lynn Goldberg, and she says, yay, 1-2 day, Mark filling in for CA. You know, like, she's such an ambassador. I'm sorry. Lynn is like an ambassador. 1 day before my birthday. It's a secret. Scorpio. I love it. Happy pre-birthday, Lynn. I love that we get to say happy birthday to you all week. So thanks for being here. Truly's in the house. Hi, Truly. And is like 1-2 day, you guys, the prices are randomized over at 12listen.com. Call and get some support. You'll be blown away. I don't have to tell you, you will be blown away. This isn't just a group of friends that got together and said, hey, we'll talk on the phone. We put them through a gauntlet. It's real. Leslie's in the house. Hi, Leslie, Patricia, Rich, you all. I'm so sorry I'm not CA, because I know you guys love CA. I love CA. CA wrote the Power Peak intro. She does the weekly, the week ahead, and the weekly intro. The word, the password this week, don't tell anybody, Lynn, especially you, is sunlit, S-U-N-L-I-T. But you go to markhusson.com or markspowerpeak.com, and you get in, and you'll see that what in plain English is happening astrologically. And let me tell you, it ain't nothing. It's a lot. And CA did that right before she left. She'll be back next week, same time, same place. But let's send her some vibes of thank you, rest, healing, support, because I don't know many people that work as hard as her. It's nonstop. Inga, you missed my show yesterday. Guess what? This guy named Jay, who I talk about a lot, he put it up in on demand at 12radio.com. Please go here. And also, Buzz Sprout, Buzzsprout, is where my podcast is. Also Apple, also Spotify. I'm such a delinquent for the fun. Judith is in the house. Hi, Judith. And look, Peggy's in that. Peggy, how can you be in two places at the same time?
I'm good, Mark.
You are so good. Peggy is a Leo. Peggy is a Taurus moon. For those of you that love this stuff, I love this stuff. And she's an Aquarius rising. That right there, the Aquarius rising, Peggy, that's what puts you on the radio fearlessly. I have been begging my staff, and Peggy knows this because she knows I'm a little bit of a nag. We beg the staff. Please get a radio show. Please let people hear your voice. Please be supportive. You know who does it fearlessly? Peggy. Who would have thought? She immediately, years ago, Peggy, you did it like early on.
Yeah, I started in 2013. Was it June of, no, let's see. No. I started with Want You Listen on April 1st, 2014. And the only reason I remember that was because it was my grandmother who was psychic. That's her birthday is April Fool's Day. Wow. And then a month later, I got a call from you or who is it? And said, what's her name? Why can't I think of her name, Mark?
CA? No.
No.
Who was the other person doing calls?
One of the sisters.
Well, Christy? Nope.
Christy yep. Calls me and says, Mark and I were talking, and we want to know if you'd like to do a radio show. Now, honest to God, that was not me that answered. But my angel stepped up and said, sure, we'd love it. And when I hung up, I'm thinking, holy crap.
I'm going to be on the
radio.
Really? Like,
oh, what have I done? Yeah.
I love that. Christy was fearless. You know that? She was really fearless. She just had, like, it's a no BS. Let's get this done. I love her. I really miss her. Hey, so Peggy, here's the thing. What is this deal with angels? I mean, it's like a big deal. Did you ever do the Doreen Virtue thing? What's your story here?
Well, the thing with what I did it as a kid.
Okay.
And I mean, I just thought everybody talked to angels. I didn't think I was special. I just thought everybody did it. And when I got busted, I was on, I was like in first grade, and there's this little girl who was a little shit, pardon the language, but she was just mean. And you know, you had the monitor out on the playground, right? And you were responsible for picking, you know, those red rubber balls, those kickballs or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was my job to pick up the kickballs that day. And I said, I need that ball. She took it and she slammed it at me and it hit my face. Oh, and it pissed me off.
Yeah.
And I was crying. And her grandmother came to me and she goes, you go tell her, her name is such and such, whatever the girl's name was. You tell her her grandmother's ashamed of her. And so because I'm used to getting those messages, I did exactly what I was told. I said, your grandma does not like the way you treated me. And she's not very happy with you. And the little girl, I can still remember her standing to me. She goes, I don't know what you're talking about. My grandmother's dead. I said, well, that's beside the point. She's watching you, and she doesn't like the way you're acting. Wow. That little girl started screaming like I killed her, you know.
Wow.
She made a big deal. I got pulled to the principal's office. Principal called home. I had to walk home, and I got my ass beat when I got home.
Wow.
You know, we're not supposed to talk about that kind of stuff, blah, blah, blah. So wow. That's how it started.
That piques my interest. What what was your relationship, your home life like? You had two parents that raised you, or
yeah, I had two parents. It was a very. I have two older sisters.
Okay,
My eldest sister was my mother's favorite. My middle sister was my dad's favorite, but not necessarily in a good way. My dad was very verbally and physically abusive, and then you had me, and it was like I was the oldest, even though I was a baby. I got in between everybody. Mm. You know, I was the one that tried to calm everybody down and get every, you know, if my dad went to hit somebody, I would get in between him and whoever, right?
Yeah.
But
dad was very verbally abusive.
And physically.
What did he do for a living?
He did. He worked for the railroad and he was a truck driver.
Okay. He did both. And what did your mom do? Was she at home?
She was at home to start off with, and then they got in financial trouble, and then she went into office work or whatever.
Okay. And so you had a family of three. You were living in Texas?
Yes.
Okay. And so you were the baby. And part of your part of your early discovery, like your reality was like, when you say talk to angels, can you help us explain that? Are you actually seeing a winged being? Or are you just hearing a voice? What is it?
Sometimes it's both. When I was little, it was just this real soft energy and I could hear a voice clear as day, like talking to you. And they would say, Peggy, you know, you got to do this and do that. And don't worry about it. We're watching out for you. You know what I'm saying? It was just a conversation. It was like having a best friend, but not in this world, this side of the world.
And you know? What made you think they were angels?
And that's how they described themselves to me.
Oh, they would tell you.
Yeah, I just knew, you know.
Okay. And was there a time, was there an event or something that you can remember? Like, this is like one of the challenge questions, but can you remember a time when an angel voice came to you that said, if you go in there, there's trouble, or some kind of advice that you didn't heed and you were sorry for? Or, you know, is there a story that sticks out that sort of like sealed the deal for you with these entities?
Well, I think it was after the incident where I got a spanking and got grounded, you know, for telling that little girl, yeah, for the grandmother. And they explained to me that not everybody was open to hearing them. And that, you know, that my dad was, you're talking to the devil again, blah, blah, blah. And in the little kid's mind, you know, I'm first grade, second grade, I'm thinking to myself, you taught me at church, an angel is above, the devil's below. So how can you, if I'm talking to the angels, how could that be the devil's work? It didn't make, in my logical mind, that made no sense, you know?
Right.
But, and they told me, just let him say whatever he's got to say and just know that we'll take care of you. It's going to be fine. Well, I didn't listen to him, you know, I should have, but you know, I got in my dad's face and said, this is not right. You know, you say Jesus is love and the angels are love and all this other stuff's love. And all this other stuff that's opposite of that is the devil's work. But I'm not talking with the devil. I'm talking with my angels.
Was it a religious family?
Yeah. Church of Christ. Well, it was first started off with Southern Baptist.
Uh-huh.
You know, hellfire, damnation, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And then it switched over to Church of Christ. And oh, my Lord. Stay away from them people. They will tell you they're the only ones getting into heaven.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And so your early upbringing, you were pretty much a loner then, it sounds like, Peggy.
Yeah. But I mean, I had a lot of friends and stuff like that, but it was all to get me out of the house. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to be at home.
Yes.
So I would, you know, somebody needed a friend, I became your friend. I would help you. I would do whatever I had to do. Because that was my role in the family, was taking care of everybody else.
Interesting. That's I love that. Your chart, when I look at your chart, it seems like the relational aspect of your chart is very intense, like one of the most powerful parts of your chart. Were you ever in relationship?
I've been married and divorced twice, and both of them physically and emotionally abusive.
Wow. And was there any children involved?
My son.
You had a son?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, so was that like a pretty, does that seem 100, like 100 years ago? Because it feels like 100 years ago.
It feels like 100 years ago.
It does. It was a different Peggy. So were your angels with you during those times? Did you feel a warning before you hooked up with your husbands? Like, did they say, girl?
Oh, yeah, I would tell them, you know, you need to stop doing that because you're going to get busted. You got to do this, you know. But I would get these messages and they would listen. If they wanted that, you know, they wanted an answer. But if I gave it without them asking me for the advice, then, you know, I could get in trouble for that.
And what about, did the angels try to warn you about your marriages at all? Or was that like an important learning lesson for you?
It was lessons I had to learn.
Okay.
My second one, especially. The first one wasn't as bad as what the second one was. And, but I swore up and down after I divorced my first one, I would never be in that relationship, that kind of relationship ever, ever. You know, he just did pot and, you know, he liked to hit and he liked to lie. The second one, he'd get high every once in a while, but his big abuse was alcohol. And he was more violent, Yeah, he sent me to the hospital a couple of times.
Wow.
He even told the police that he was sorry he didn't kill me when he had the chance.
Oh my God. Were so
Yeah.
did you have moments where you literally felt like your life was in danger and this is
Oh,
it?
absolutely.
Did you rely any on the angel voices or the angel presences during those
Yeah,
times?
I think the most striking thing that happened, I mean, I would have conversations with them all the time, and I just didn't trust. I mean, when you're married to a narcissist, they get you down to where you don't feel very good of yourself, and I drank the Kool-Aid. And but I had one instance to where I was just done. I couldn't take anymore, and they called it a suicide attempt. But honest to God, I can tell you, it wasn't a suicide attempt. It was I just wanted the pain to stop,
Wow.
the mental pain. I just needed to stop. And I remember being in the ambulance, and then leaving my body, and I was like, oh, thank you, God.
Oh.
I mean, I was excited,
I'm coming
and.
home.
And I came face to face with my grandmother. I said, "Oh, Grandma, it's been so long since I've seen you. I'm so happy to see you." And she told me, she said, "Peggy, it's not your time." I'm like, "What?"
I ain't going
She
back.
goes, "You have a choice. You can go ahead and come now, but if know that if you stay on this side now, you're going to have to go back and go through the lessons you've just gone through." I'm like, "Oh, hell no!" And the minute I said that, boom, back in my body. And I
Wow.
felt the whatever they put on your chest to get your heart going again, one of those things.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wow. The who called the ambulance, do you think, Peg?
I had been on the phone with a friend of mine,
Oh my
and
God.
I just told her to take care of Josh, my son. He was with his dad that weekend, so I didn't have to, he wasn't there at the home. And she immediately disconnected with me and called 911.
Oh, good for her. Do you still know that person?
No.
Wow.
It's really funny when you're in a relationship with a lot of physical violence, people tend to leave you alone. They don't want to be a part of it.
Wow. Is your husband still alive?
No, both of them are dead.
Both are dead. Okay.
And both have come to me since and have
Yeah.
apologized. Whenever my son's dad wants a message to get to him, he still comes to see me.
Okay, so I have a question. How do you distinguish between like your own thoughts and the angel voice? Is it like a voice? Is it different?
Yes, that my main archangel is Archangel Michael. And when I found out who it was, I was in a class. I took Charles Virtue's class.
Yep.
And I can still, and he still kids me to this day about it. We were in the class, and here's all these people telling these angel stories and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, crap, I used to be a truck driver. I can swear like a sailor. I've done all these things. I'm in the wrong classroom, And so I raised my hand. And he said, yes. I said, why would an angel talk to me? I've done all these things in my life. Why is some angel going to come talk to me? I'm not pious enough or whatever. And he started laughing. He goes, Peggy, you don't have to be an angel to talk to angels.
No, that's
And I
funny.
said, well, thank God for that. And the whole classroom cracked up laughing. But it was just really, the angels have always been there with me. I do mediumship as well. But the difference in the energy is night and day for me. When the angels are coming through, I mean, Archangel Michael has a great sense of humor with me because I can remember telling him, why did I get stuck with you? Everybody's got Archangel Michael. And he started laughing. He goes, oh, so you didn't want me for your angel, huh? He goes, too bad, so sad. Kind of thing. He has a great rapport with me,
How do you look back at the relationships? There's a lot of people relating to your stories in the room, okay? And because the abusive relationships are terrifying. I mean, we can talk about them lightly now because we're looking back in the past, but they're terrifying when you're in them.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And so is there a part of you that did you have to go through some sort of like not just forgiveness of them, but sort of like the part of you that chose these people? Do you go through a process where you kind of like transform, like you forgive the past, forgive the choices? Did you have to do any of that, or what
Absolutely.
you did?
Absolutely. I think what happened, what made it easy for me, number one, I was with my son and his dad when his dad passed.
Okay.
And I had sat with his dad for 2 days prior to he had gotten in an automobile accident, and he had gotten hit physically by a car. He was out on the highway, ice had hit the road, and he lost control and hit somebody else. So he got out to check the other person. Some the irony, two teenage guys smoking a joint, lost control of their car and hit Dave and knocked him like 25 feet out on the highway.
Basically
he was in the hospital for 30 days, a little over 30 days. But he really wasn't there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so when I tuned into him, that was, you know, that was a very, intense time, but he, you know, he asked for forgiveness for that. And I'm like, you know, it's in the past. We'd gotten past that after my second marriage. So, it was just a forgiveness for him, and I asked for forgiveness also, because, you know, when you're in an abusive relationship, it still takes two people. You know, I never asked to get beat the way I got beat, but, you know, there's things I could have done differently to get myself out of that situation, and I chose not to, because I felt like evidently that I needed some lessons to learn, you know. Mm-hmm. My second husband, who mm-hmm. was the most abusive, he came to me in a vision at night, and he told me that he apologized for it all. He goes, but Peggy, he goes, we both chose to be in that lifetime together because we both had some major life lessons to learn. He goes, I'm so sorry that I chose and you chose the path that we took. We could have learned the same lessons, but not so violently.
Wow. That's pretty intense. How did your son do all this, Peggy? Did your son do okay?
No. I mean, he has relationship issues now, and I'm sure that's that has to do with a lot of it. And I think that, you know, as a his dad and his stepdad both convinced him that obviously it's a woman's fault and a man needs to take charge.
Yeah.
So my son's had some major issues with that. And the fact that, you know, I should have done something different.
We call it the sins of the father, right? I mean, he sort of like took it and sort of carried the tradition, it sounds like. You, however, took a different path. You took a path to help people, to sort of, is it hard for you to talk to women, particularly who are in abusive relationships?
No, not at all. And I think I draw those to me because I have been through them, and I know what it's like. I know the stories they tell to make it all your fault.
Yes.
You know, and I know what it feels like to be on that end of those stories that when they're being shot at you, you're like, oh my God, you know.
Do you understand when somebody isn't ready to leave the abusive relationship frustrate you, or you understand it?
No, I understand it. And I think that's the biggest misconception that people have. Well, you should just leave.
Yeah.
Well, you can't just leave. I mean, to this day, I mean, at the time I had my first Yorkie, with my second husband, I had my first Yorkie, and I mean, I just loved that dog and he loved me, but there's no battered women's shelters that will take animals.
Oh my God. What?
So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So I chose my dog over going to a shelter.
Wow. That's amazing.
And my dog would not eat unless I was at home.
Yeah, no,
he would go days. He would not eat. He would not take food from anybody else but me. So I couldn't do that to him.
No, I get it. That's really...
But besides an animal, I mean, there's kids too. People who have kids. What are you going to do with the child? And how do you explain to them? And they don't understand why daddy's not there. And you know, there's so much that goes on. I was caught between my second husband and my boss. My boss had fired my husband. And I got one of the biggest beatings I ever got.
Oh.
So I go to work because I still need to work, right? I still need to get money. And I I had two big black eyes. He had shattered one bone, the bone that holds your eye in the socket.
Yep.
And I get to work, and my boss, he went off on me. He goes, you have no business being here. He goes, you can't look like that and work here.
So then you had to go home?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
So Peggy, were the angels talking to you during this time?
Yes. Yes.
Were you getting some supportive advice?
Well, Mark, I wouldn't have made it without them.
Okay.
You know, they just, you know, they comforted me this much. You know, when you're going through that intense trauma and trying to keep yourself open to listen to the angels, there, you know, there's sometimes a disconnect.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
But they would use every opportunity to get through.
Because of that, you knew you were going to be okay somewhere there because of the supportive voices. Like you knew they were telling you it's going to be all right. We'll get you. We'll get you through this.
Yeah.
So when somebody calls you and wants to talk, like for example, at Want to Listen, do you need to take a minute, or do the voices just come right at you?
Are you reading your
angel or their angel?
It's really, it's really funny. When I first started this, I was like, talking with Archangel Michael, and I said, they tell you when you're learning this and it to be public, you're either going to hear it, see it, feel it, smell it, whatever. I said, I want people, when they come to me, I want to know intuitively the words to reach the people that need me.
Okay.
I don't want to sit there and tell somebody I hear blah, blah, blah. Well, they're not into that at all. I said, I played Let's Make a Deal, Mark.
I love it.
So it just depends. I mean, I have people who will call, and the minute I hear their voice, I'm already getting messages. That's already know. You got to tell them this, and this. And I have other people to where their guides are coming through, and they're trying to put it in such a manner to where I can say it for the, they're going to hear what they need to hear. Okay. I had one lady who I was doing an in-person reading in my home in Phoenix, and she paid for a 30-minute reading. 15 minutes into it, I'm like, we need to end this because the lady was not listening, and she goes, well, that's not the answer I want to hear. I said, well, I am so sorry, but that's the answer the angels have for you. I can't change the answer because you don't like it.
That's right. No, that's good. And somebody has a question in the chat room, Peggy. Let's see. I can't believe our time. I'm just wondering, can angels be a bit devilish too? As in, if an ancestor appears and advises, can they be a bit off sometimes too? I'm curious about the angels and who's influencing them. So do your angels have a sense of humor?
Mine do.
Yes.
Mine absolutely do. Archangel Michael does all the time.
Okay. Have they ever played a trick on you? I think Judith is like, can they be a bit devilish too? Well, do you actually interact with them as if you would somebody else, like a playful time or?
Oh yeah, they're saying, I'll go like when I told Archangel Michael, why'd I get you? And he was like, oh, so you didn't want me. I'm not good enough for you, huh? I can help all these other people, but I can't be there for you. So yes, they have that. I have that interaction with them. I have other angels that I talk with that are very soft-spoken and reserved. They're just soft. That's the best way to describe them. They're just soft and gentle, and they give the message in a short, calm manner. But when I get Archangel Michael coming through for somebody, I mean, it's, you never know what's going to come out.
Oh, so yeah. And probably the angel that comes through is very much representative of the type of issue that's going to come through, right? Because Michael is kind of like a warrior.
Yes.
So that's very potent. You are pretty extraordinary. That's kind of like, and when you do your radio show, I noticed that how do you pick your topics? Is it just sort of like whatever happens in the week?
Well, I ask for guidance, and I tell you, I type up notes for myself. So I try to do, I usually do the show the day before, but I've had it where no matter what time I was on for 1-2 radio or what, I would type up my notes. And I'm going on air, I hear Michael say, nope, today we're going to talk about blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. Really?
I love it. That's so good.
I prepared for all this other stuff. Now you want to throw this at me. But it's usually because they know who's going to be listening to the show.
That's right.
And they're trying to get a message across to some. I usually saw as they trying to get the message across to somebody who needs the message but is not asking.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Man, okay. Peggy, you are a delight. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. We're going to bring Kelly on, but before we go, can we just anything about what you're doing today? Are you going to be on the Want to Listen sale today?
Oh, yes. I forgot to post that as soon as I get off here, then I'll let Yogi back out one more time, and then I'll turn on to Want to Listen. And so then, you guys give me a call. I'm here.
Yeah, so you'll be on 1-2-Listen. It's 1-2-Day today, so super ridiculous discount prices. You have TBSs where people can call without interruption or worry about adding money. And any parting words, Pegs, before we say goodbye for now?
Well, you guys, I know the times feel really wonky right now, but hang in there. Things will get better. And thanks, Mark, for having me on here. And I can't wait till next week for CA to be back, too. So, and enjoy your time with Kelly. You guys take care.
Thanks, Peggy. Thanks for coming on. We're going to take a 1-minute break, you guys, and we're going to be back with Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining us. Thanks again, Pegs.
Inspiration is the key to success in any endeavor, and that is especially true on the spiritual path. Trouble is, it rarely comes knocking on your door. This is Kelly Whetstone, and I am here to invite you to join me for my show, Empowerment, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, here on 1-2 Radio, where inspiration is always just a click away.
Hey, everybody, we're back. This is so much like magic. Thank you all for joining us. If you missed the first half of the show, this is Mark. I'm hosting and filling in for C.A. Brooks, which is gigantic shoes to fill. Honestly, I just appreciate her so much for all she does. So I'm honored, certainly humbled, to take her slot on this Tuesday while she enjoys the moment break that she deserves. And so I'm here with an incredible guest, Kelly Whetstone. I know you all know Kelly. I've known Kelly for an amazing amount of years. I don't even want to count them. But we go way back. It's kind of freaky. I hate time. I do. But she is here with us today. I wanted to get her before her show started, her official show started, so we could explore a little more casually who this woman is, what she's up to. Kelly Whetstone, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. And thank you for asking. This is really fun. I don't get a chance to talk to you that often. So this is a fun way to do it.
It really is. Kelly, you have an extraordinary journey. I feel like because we go back so far, see, we go back to the brick and mortar days, you guys, of the store. So this is like back in the 90s. I mean, seriously.
89 or 90.
Yeah. I know. It's like, and so Kelly was a customer at first, and over time and over the years, always, here's the thing about Kelly. I'm just going to just give my point of view. Always graceful, graceful. If you all hear that in her voice when you talk to her, that's who she is. It's crazy. The woman doesn't change. She's just nice. She's really gracious. Then I watched her evolve, and she was doing artwork. You still painting?
I've got to get back to it. It was put on the back burner for a while, but I've got a picture I've got a photograph that's sitting on my art table that I walk by every day. And my pad of watercolor paper. So one of these days I'm going to get to it.
See, she has that gift, you guys. She's just good. And then she became a teacher at one of the most prestigious psychic institutes in Colorado. I mean, seriously. And then she took this amazing leap and started being a teacher, not only for the people that would take her the courses at the school, and I'll let her tell. What was the name of the institute, Kelly? The
Interconnection.
The Interconnections Institute. That's right. And then all the way till now, teaching incredible classes. She's so well read. Everything about Kelly is like what you see is what you get, and yet it's not all of it. There's so much more underneath. So I want to pick your brain, Kelly, a little bit about sort of the nature of spirituality, how it's evolved since your days of teaching at the school, how your personal spirituality has grown, evolved, and sort of I want to land with where you are now. But is that too broad of a question? Can you talk a little bit about the evolution of your sort of like the difference between spirituality then and where you are now in it? Because you feel miles from that place, and yet even richer. So, good. I'm so glad. So how has that happened?
Well, I think, my first introduction to spirituality, and I can say I've just always loved God from the time I was a little girl. And I was raised Catholic, until I was, you know, a teenager, but said my prayers every night. You know, I mean, it was just important to me. I went to a Christian high school, a born again Christian high school, and it was always important to me. But when I was about 27, something like that, Christmas, my mother put a copy of Stuart Wilde's book, The Force, in my Christmas stocking.
Are you?
And it was used.
Oh my God.
It had a sticky note or something in it, but it didn't matter. I read that and that flipped a switch. When, you know,
was your mom, was she a born again or was she pretty religious?
No.
Okay.
She was also, she went to Catholic church. And then I remember the dinner where we were all sitting down and she told my grandmother that she wasn't going to Catholic church anymore.
Wow. Good. I love that.
And I'm sure my eyes just popped out of my head. You know, I mean, it was like, oh my God. So anyway, we were, she was really honestly a seeker. And one of the books that I've had on my bookshelf for ever is Autobiography of a Yogi. And it's so, the print is so tiny and the cover is torn off it, but I've kept it. And she also gave me one of Ram Dass's books. So she was always a seeker. She heard Joel Goldsmith and just all of that. And she'd actually read Science of Mind. And,
I love that. And yeah. Was your relation, so what was the family dynamic? Was it, you had siblings?
I have a brother. Yeah.
You have a brother, and then you had a father that was in the household?
No, I've never known my father.
Oh, an interesting fact. I love this. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was your mom raising you and your brother?
Well, it was actually, my mother worked.
Okay.
And so we lived with our grandparents. And my grandfather died when I was 12. And so we just stayed, you know, my brother and I, we lived at their house. Mom would come home every night for dinner, but she had her own apartment that she lived in.
Wow.
So we would go and spend weekends with her. They were always really close. We grew up in North Denver. And so they were always just a few blocks away.
Oh, this is intriguing, Cal.
It was an interesting growing up.
Yeah.
And my mom and I were never, we were never really close. Nobody.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, my gram was my mother.
Yeah. Was really. She, was that your mom's mom?
Yeah.
Okay. And she was badass, right? We liked her.
Oh, I loved her. Well, she's a little cancer. You know,
yeah, she's amazing. I'll tell you now, she's amazing. No, go ahead. Sorry, I get a little excited.
She was about 5 feet tall, and I wouldn't cross her. You know, no. I mean, I just wouldn't, because it was that passive. I remember my brother and I were running through the house fighting when we were really little. And
yeah.
You know what she would do?
What?
She'd hide.
What?
She'd go hide someplace. And I'd freak out because I couldn't find her.
Cancers, they're so good. They're so good. I love that. And so she didn't have, did she have strict religious shit going on? I mean,
she was a Catholic. Yeah,
okay, she was Catholic, so it wasn't like hardcore born again y stuff, right?
No.
Okay,
cool
with the Force being given to you,
or did I was way older, and I don't think she didn't really care at that time. I mean, that wasn't
absolutely
anything.
Yeah, this digress us too much. But your mom gave you the Stuart Wilde book, and you mm-hmm. read that, and did that just like you said, a light bulb went off,
lit me up. You know, that which I am, that which lives me is God. Is God. God's not outside of me.
This stuff in. I love this. He was amazing.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love Stuart. I've got cassettes of his that I've listened to 100 times.
Yeah.
And they still play in my head.
He's tough cookie too. He doesn't mm-hmm. beat us. He's a friend of Tom's who does our websites. I mean, he was a friend of Tom's. Yeah, Tom adores him. And when we heard that he died, Tom was so close to him that he refused to believe it was true. He kept telling me, Mark, he's a prankster. You don't understand. He's not dead. And I was like, okay, cool, Tom. And I'm thinking, you poor thing. I think he really is. But it was very sweet. And it was, but anyway, he loved him. But so let's move on to the idea that you embraced this concept. You took him in, and then where did it grow to? Is that then what happened? What did you do with that information?
Well, then I just couldn't get enough. I mean, I listened to all of his stuff, and then I listened to Chopra and
oh yeah, Deepak Chopra. That's right.
And what's her name? Sonia Choquette. And I just listened to those people on Nightingale Conan was my, you know, where I would get tapes and stuff. And I just, like I said, I couldn't get enough. I'd read a book on shamanism or, you know, whatever. It just, I needed to be fed.
And what a time to need to be fed, because there was a lot of people feeding at the time.
Yeah.
I think Gatehouse had just started.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was, you know, meditating and just trying to just get as much as I could possibly get, really. And I worked, you know, I had a job at the same time, but that was, but that it's always been, spirituality is the most important thing in my life, period.
No doubt. It's all over you. And it's like, and it's so reassuring to see. You're somebody who, I don't know that I say this about everybody, but you're somebody who walks the talk. I'm sorry. Kelly is like, and Kelly recently, like you recently lost your husband. Mm-hmm. Through that entire journey, and it was a journey that I only got to peek in through a little curtain, but Kelly never lost her faith, never lost her wisdom, what she turned to for support. So where do you turn for support, Kelly? How does it work? I mean, it's so, we have to explore you in 30 minutes. It's so frustrating.
Well, it was just,
where do you go?
Well, when Chana was sick and my mom passed,
they
passed within 30 days of each other. She died at the end of November and he died Christmas, officially the day after Christmas, but I think he died Christmas night is my feeling. But that's where I go. I found, this is, you know, it's a no mistakes universe. Joel Goldsmith is my guru. The little Jew from New York is my guru.
Joel Goldsmith, okay.
I love Joel Goldsmith. I've just read every, because he's a mainline. That's what he talks, mainline. It's you and God. And when I read for people, I'm a clairvoyant and an intuitive. I don't use any tools, any modalities. It's just what I hear, what I see, what I feel. And so, you know, he just took all the fluff out of, excuse me, I don't mean to offend anyone, but he just cut to the chase. You know, you practice the presence of God. You go into meditation, you get quiet, and you listen. And then after, you know, somehow things just come into my universe, one of which was Audible's version of Autobiography of a Yogi. And somehow Ram Dass, mom gave me another book of Ram Dass's a year or so ago. And I've never, you know, was never really crazy about Ram Dass, but through Ram Dass, I found Alan Watts.
Yeah.
And there is the most fabulous video that you can find on YouTube called The Spiritual Pendulum. And it is talks by both of them interspersed by Ram Dass and Alan Watts. And it is fantastic. I couldn't even tell you how many times I've listened to it. But then I start listening to Alan Watts. And the one thing that he says in that program, the spiritual pendulum, that hit me like a ton of brick was just being able to say, I don't know. I don't know how to live this life. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to expect. And when you do that, it's like the other half of that is, so I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for this that I don't know to that which lives me, which is the infinite God mind that meets every demand if I get out of the way. And I don't know. It was like weight dropped off my shoulders. And that was my mantra for a year. You know, it still is. It still is. I don't know what my show's going to be about, but you do.
Isn't that the best? I mean, listen, that is so like, it's like handing the steering wheel over. I don't know. you know more than me. Why am I trying to design what is going to be best for my life? We used to talk about that in the early days of the store when people would do manifesting rituals. It's sort of like sometimes it's okay to just say, bring me what you think is best for me. I don't freaking know. And yeah. So there is such a there's such a reassurance there. Now, you when you're doing that for people, when you're listening to people, do you like you could hear, you could see any like it could come to you in a million ways, the advice, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It does. Usually, cuz I always manage to do some healing while I'm doing my readings, you know, yeah. And healing is just moving energy that doesn't belong. That's all it is. I see the chakra system, I feel in my body, you know, where energy is, and then I address it and move it, and I feel the release in my body or in my head or whatever it is, and then it's done. You know, then I know it's done. And that's how I work with people. And so that's kind of part of pretty much every call that I do.
Wow.
Can I move that for you?
A little healing while they're talking to you.
Yeah.
And you used to do, Kelly, you used to go to houses and clear the energy in a house, right? Can you do that by phone?
Oh yeah, I do it. I have an email based service. Oh, energy's energy. Oh yeah.
I get it. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll do that for clients. You know, I'll have a client that calls and asks me to help her, and then she goes, and can you just clean up my house?
yeah. What am I?
Absolutely can.
That's amazing. And it's very powerful. For those of you listening, if you've ever just felt the house just you've been through a hard time and your house is that energy is just sitting there like it's not moving, you can get this service from Kelly where she clears it for you and you feel it. It's not. And let me tell you, Kelly doesn't, you don't cut shortcuts. It's hysterical. You're a little Taurus. She doesn't cut shortcuts. It's sort of like, this is how you do it. This is what will happen. This is where we go. And what's interesting is I've also see the depth of which you, have you ever gotten some surprising advice that you didn't want to follow but did, and it was like mind-blowingly perfect? Or like, is there something that stands out that was like, advice you heard inside yourself that you didn't want to do?
I can't really think of anything off
the top of my head. Because you always want to do it when they tell you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So much that stuff. That's amazing. Have you ever had an image come up to you when you're working with a client and you go, that can't possibly mean anything, and said it anyway, and it's like, and the client's like, that's so, where did you get that from? Like, that's so amazing. Has that ever happened?
Oh yeah, that happens a lot. And because I see in pictures, you know, I see in pictures. So yeah. if I'm going through the chakra system, or if I'm looking at them, it's like, you know, you look like you've got a dead body strapped to your back. Can I move it?
Whoa.
And you know, and that's just people that we take on energy, and that's exactly what it translates to, is you've got stuff that isn't yours that you're paying for, you know, that you're miserable over, or you're distracted because of, or you're tired, or you feel bad, and it's not yours. Anything that doesn't feel good doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong. It's error.
That's so good. I love that. And so you used a lot of your spirituality during the time of your loss with your mom and your husband.
Constantly.
Yeah. What happens? Like, do you do mediumship? Like, are you able to, do you feel that people do keep a certain consciousness on the other side and can talk?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'll give you my favorite Stuart Weil quote.
Okay.
There's no deathbed conversions. He said, if Uncle Harry was as thick as two planks alive, he's as thick as two planks dead.
Oh wow!
I love that we retain our identity. We just moved out of our house. That's all. This body is just a house. It's not us.
Do we pay attention to the world, do you think, that's here when we leave? Like, did your husband look back and see you in the house and all that? Or do you think some people just move on to their next adventure? Because it's, well,
I think it's probably both,
Okay.
is my feeling. I know that, you know, when Shannon first passed, I just had all these crazy communications from him, you know, that I shared with you. And then it got pretty quiet. And now, and I think part of that too is moving on, you know, my evolution, my moving on, and him too. But he's here, and I'll just see funny little signs of him being here. And it's usually through, I have one of those aura frames, that digital frame.
Yeah.
And I have, there's over 400 pictures in there, and the majority of them are of my grandma. And take pictures every minute.
Sorry.
Get off my butt. But anyway, but I have very few pictures of my mother or Channon, and I will have days where they repeat pictures of mom and Channon several times during the day.
Oh,
and it makes no sense given the number of those pictures versus the number of other pictures.
Oh, that's very sweet. That's
yeah.
Very sweet. Did yeah. you feel, do you feel that people, so what you're saying is if somebody dies suddenly and people feel they have unfinished business with them, it doesn't have to be unfinished, right?
No, talk to them. They're still, you can have a spirit to spirit conversation with anyone. In body or out of body.
Oh, nice.
And you just imagine them sitting across from you. Get quiet, get in your head, in